Hi, my name is Pete Redden, and welcome to The Way I Taught It, next level aviation knowledge in microbursts. Welcome to another edition of The Way I Taught It. I'd like to make a quick pitch for CFI Link, an organization providing a free service to flight instructors to connect them with flight schools that have employment opportunities. Yep, you heard me correctly. It's free for flight instructors to join. Check them out at cfilink.us. That's CFI Link, one word, .us. Also, please head over to Apple Podcasts and consider leaving a 5-star review for this podcast. If it doesn't rate a 5-star review, please leave your feedback with the associated non-5-star review so we can make the podcast better. On with today's lesson, turning tendencies. There are 4 turning tendencies that you can find in the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. Now, some of you may already be trying to correct me and say 4 left turning tendencies. Well, you're half correct, and we'll see why in just a bit, but let's just stick with turning tendencies for now. The first one is torque. Basically, the prop spins to the right as we view it from the pilot seat, and that makes the airplane want to roll to the left. Anything that's spinning in one direction that's connected to something else will want to make that something else spin in the opposite direction. And that's Newton's third law. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. The prop spins to the right as we see it from the pilot seat. The airplane wants to roll to the left. Now, there's some factors that enhance this turning tendency of torque. The size and horsepower of the engine. The bigger the engine you have, the more horsepower you have, and such, you're going to have more torque on that propeller, which means you're going to have more torque on the airplane acting in the opposite direction. The size of the propeller and the RPM that we have it set at is going to determine the amount of torque that's going to try and twist the airplane the opposite direction of the propeller. The size of the propeller, well, if there's more mass on the propeller, it's going to take more energy to turn that. So the energy expanded to turn the bigger propeller with more mass is going to act equally on the airplane to spin in the opposite direction. Of course, the size of the airplane also makes a difference. If you have a small extra 300 aerobatic airplane with a ginormous prop on it and a ginormous motor on it, of course, that thing's going to want to roll to the left all the time. If you have something more akin to a DC-3 that has large control surfaces, large wing areas, large tail surfaces, you're going to roll less because of those larger surface areas and the mass of the airplane countering the mass of the propeller. So now we move on to spiraling slipstream. So basically, this is the airflow off of the propeller around the fuselage, hitting the left side of the vertical stabilizer, yawing the aircraft to the left. The propeller is rotating. It's creating thrust in the aft direction and the back towards the back of the airplane. And that thrust is actually swirling around the fuselage. As it gets to the back of the airplane, it's going to hit the left side of the rudder, the left side of the vertical stabilizer, and want to yaw the airplane to the left. And we're talking about an upright attitude, wings level, prop turning to the right, which is the standard rotation for propeller in North America, and that thrust wrapping around, swirling to the right, and then hitting the left side of the vertical stabilizer, the left side of the rudder, wanting to push and yaw the airplane to the left, the nose of the airplane to the left. The other thing that it does, when you yaw to the left, you're putting your right wing out into the oncoming relative wind, so that's advancing, it's gaining airspeed, where the left wing is falling back, it's decelerating, and that's going to also cause a roll. So the spiraling slipstream not only causes a yaw, but because it causes a yaw, once the yaw is induced, it's also going to cause a roll. Spiraling slipstream is more pronounced at slower airspeeds. So think about it. If the airplane's moving slower through the air, that spiraling slipstream kind of begins to bunch up, and more of it will hit the vertical stabilizer than if you're at cruise airspeed. When you're at cruise airspeed, that corkscrew kind of stretches out like a spring, and less air is impacting the left side of the rudder, which means there's less effect of the turning tendency. So spiraling slipstream, we want most all of these are going to be more pronounced at a slower airspeed. And we'll talk about why that is towards the end. The next one is P factor. So P factor is the asymmetrical loading of the propeller. Basically, because the airplane is flying at a positive angle of attack, because the airplane's propeller is spinning to the right as we see it from the pilot seat, that positive angle of attack of the fuselage of the wing has the propeller slightly out of horizontal by a few degrees. And because of its being slightly out of horizontal on a few degrees, the downward descending prop blade will always create more thrust than the upwards or ascending prop blade. So the downward descending prop blade creates more thrust than the upwards ascending prop blade on the left side of the spinning disc, if you will. And that's because the angle of attack of the airplane with that slight nose up attitude is giving the right side propeller blade, the descending propeller blade, just a little bit more angle of attack with regards to the relative wind, and it's going to bite more, which is going to cause a yawing moment to the left. More pronounced at high angles of attack because now the descending blade of the propeller has a higher angle of attack, which means slower airspeeds. And again, we're going to come back to that slower airspeed piece of this and explain a little bit more about the why is it at slower airspeeds as opposed to higher airspeeds. So that's P factor. We're creating more thrust on the downward descending blade because the airplane has an angle of attack that gives the downward descending blade a little bit more angle of attack and the upward ascending blade a little less angle of attack, which creates an imbalance in the thrust created. Next, we're going to talk about gyroscopic precession. Gyroscopic precession basically is when a force is applied to a spinning object or a spinning disc, that force will act in 90 degrees in the plane of rotation from where the force was applied. If we have that spinning propeller out in front of us and we were to take our finger and push on the top of the spinning disc of the prop arc, and then that force is going to move 90 degrees to the right, because it's spinning to the right, and act in that direction, causing the disc to rotate or yaw to the left. But let's talk about that. On a tricycle gear airplane, this turning tendency is not as much of a concern because when we are on takeoff roll, when we rotate the airplane, we're pulling back on the yoke, we're actually applying the force to the bottom of the spinning disc, which means 90 degrees in the plane of rotation will mean the force is actually acting on the left side of the prop arc, the left side of the prop disc, which means when we rotate in a tricycle gear airplane, the airplane is actually going to want to yaw right with a tricycle gear airplane when we rotate as opposed to the left. So why do we talk about this turning tendency? Well, on a tailwheel airplane, when we rotate to lift the tail up first before we rotate the main wheels up, the main landing gear up. So when we rotate up the tailwheel, we are now applying a force to the top of the prop arc, which means it acts on the right side of the prop arc. And you can see that if you put P factor, spiraling slipstream, torque all together in gyroscopic precession, you'll see that it's very easy to ground loop a tail dragger because of the CG of the airplane being behind the wheels, kind of like a shopping cart. And then all four of these forces acting against us during takeoff, and then all four acting on landing, especially if you're slow and you add power to land and you don't have enough rudder authority, that airplane is going to want, that tail dragger is going to want a ground loop, which with a tricycle gear airplane, we don't have that problem. As we lower the nose on landing in a tricycle gear airplane, we may get a little bit of that, but because the power is already back near idle, we're probably not going to get very much of it. It's dependent on whether it's a tricycle gear airplane or a tailwheel airplane. Okay, so now let's talk about these four forces with regards to the slow airspeed. When we are slow, we're thinking about slow flight. We have high RPMs, which we already know is creating a lot of turning tendencies, specifically to the left with an upright aircraft. We also know that as we slow down and we're in slow flight, we have a huge angle of attack, which creates a lot of drag, But what happens is, if you can grasp this concept, and I hope I can explain it clearly, as the nose of the airplane comes up, the center of lift, the center of pressure, and your CG, when you talk about a horizontal plane, as the nose of the airplane comes up, the CG and the center of lift actually get closer together. The CG is going to fall slightly below the center of pressure, and the center of pressure, center of lift is going to be slightly above, and the distance between the two from a purely horizontal position, it gets closer together. And we know that as we have a smaller distance between the center of pressure and the center of gravity, the airplane becomes more unstable. We go from flying a Cessna 172, where the center of pressure and the center of gravity are kind of far apart, and we're in that wider stance of a sports player, somebody who plays sports, you want a wider stance to be more stable than a narrower stance. We now close that stance, and we're more akin to an F-16, where the center of pressure and the center of gravity are the same point on the aircraft, and now you need a computer to fly the aircraft because it's so unstable. The slower we are, the closer the center of pressure and the center of gravity are going to be on a purely horizontal plane because of the higher angle of attack of the aircraft. Now, why did we remove the left out of turning tendencies at the beginning of the podcast? Well, the spiraling slipstream is the only true left turning tendency because it's the only one that does not change with power, pitch, or the attitude of the aircraft. And let's talk about that. If you take an airplane that's aerobatic and you flip it over and you fly inverted, all the turning tendencies besides spiraling slipstream now become right turning tendencies in the way that we think about them from an upright position. They all become right turning tendencies with the exception of spiraling and slipstream. It's still hitting the same part of the aircraft. It's still hitting the same part of the vertical stabilizer. Now, another piece of this is we go back to being upright in our airplane. If you add power, the turning tendencies want to take you to the left. If you go, so that's from idle to full throttle. If you go from full throttle to idle and you don't touch the rudders, the airplane will want to yaw and roll to the right because you've just created everything opposite, except for the spiraling slipstream. That's still going to act in the same direction, but it's going to be less effective with the power at idle as with the power up. So remember, if you're inverted, everything reverses except the spiraling slipstream. If you're upright, and when you go from idle to full power, everything's a left turning tendency. When you go from full power to idle, everything becomes a right turning tendency. Again, I'm Pete Rudden, and that's another episode of The Way I Taught It. Thank you for finding this podcast worthy of your inclusion in your study of aviation. Please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If not, please leave feedback on how to improve the podcast and associated less than 5-star review. Until next time, fly safe, fly smart. That's The Way I Taught It. Episode references, Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, Chapter 5, All FAA Airman Certification Standards, and Personal Experience.